Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, March 28th. From a press release, a federal judge ruled on Wednesday that the U.S. Bureau of Land Management and the U.S. Forest Service illegally approved two adjacent natural gas drilling plans in western Colorado. At issue are the proposed Bull Mountain Project and an adjacent drilling project. SG Interests of Texas plans to drill 146 new gas wells, 4 new wastewater disposal wells, and associated infrastructure in the Bull Mountain Unit, a nearly 20,000-acre area between Paonia Reservoir and McClure Pass. In January of 2018, Citizens for a Healthy Community, High Country Conservation Advocates, Wilderness Workshop, the Center for Biological Diversity, Wild Earth Guardians, and the Western Environmental Law Center filed suit to challenge Bull Mountain Master Development Plan and an adjacent 25-well project. On Wednesday, U.S. District Judge Lewis Babcock found that officials did not adequately analyze wildlife and climate impacts. The ruling faulted the BLM and the Forest Service for failing to account for downstream emissions from drilling, and faulted the BLM for failing to adequately address potential harm to mule deer and elk. The judge said that the agency must clarify the area it used when analyzing potential harms to elk and mule deer habitat. Judge Babcock's ruling said that the Forest Service and BLM, quote, acted in an arbitrary and capricious manner by not taking a hard look at the foreseeable indirect effects resulting from the combustion of oil and gas in their environmental analyses, end quote. Stay tuned to KVNF for further developments in this story as they occur. Advocates for Colorado's community health centers are headed to Washington, D.C., hoping to avoid another fiscal cliff. Eric Galatis has the story.
Doctors, nurses, and patients are all in Washington, D.C. this week urging lawmakers to commit to stable long-term funding for the nation's community health centers. More than $5.5 billion of federal funding is set to expire on September 30th unless Congress acts. Polly Anderson with the Colorado Community Health Network says while federal grants are not the largest funding source, their contribution of 15 to 25% creates the base upon which these clinics operate. She says Colorado's 21 health centers care for 1 in 7 residents, regardless of their ability to pay.
790,000 people call a health center their primary dental and behavioral health care home. And so having secure funding with which to keep health centers fully staffed, to keep access open for individuals is incredibly important.
In October of 2017, Congress allowed the Community Health Center Fund to expire. And in 2018, lawmakers reauthorized just 2 years of funding. Anderson says the delay and short-term fix have created significant challenges for recruiting and retaining staff, expanding services, and upgrading facilities. Nationally, community health centers provide care for 28 million agricultural workers, low-income families, and people who are uninsured or homeless. Mitzi Moran, CEO of Sunrise Community Health in Greeley, says health centers deliver a good return on investment. She says through preventative care, fewer hospitalizations, and trips to emergency rooms, these clinics save the healthcare system $24 billion a year. Moran adds the facilities and their employees are economic drivers, especially in the state's rural areas.
They buy houses, they pay rent, they buy cars, they buy food, they eat at restaurants, they buy clothing. They are a huge part of a vibrant economy in Colorado.
According to the National Association of Community Health Centers, they add more than $54 billion in total economic activity each year and employ over 220,000 people nationally. Every federal dollar invested in health centers generates more than $5 in economic activity. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
From Luke Runyon at KUNC, the push to finish the Colorado River Drought Contingency Plan has moved to Washington, D.C. The deal leaves water in Lakes Mead and Powell to boost the Colorado River system. Water levels in the reservoirs have dropped in recent years. The Senate Subcommittee on Water and Power heard testimony Wednesday on the DCP. A bipartisan agreement on drought contingency plan legislation has been reached, and the congressional lawmakers plan to introduce it very soon. As Brett Jaspers reports, state water officials from the Southwest are in Washington, D.C. this week.
The drought contingency plan needs congressional approval before it can become law of the river. The plan includes incentives for water users to keep water in Lakes Mead and Powell in times of shortage. Those are the Colorado River Basin's main reservoirs. In the lower basin, keeping Lake Mead above certain levels reduces the risk of it falling so low that no water can escape from it. Water managers in the West are eager to get DCP enshrined in federal law. Here's John Ensminger of the Southern Nevada Water Authority.
If we get this done about by the end of April, that will kick in the water scarcity plan, and we'll have the country of Mexico leaving water in Lake Mead during the next water year.
The U.S. and basin states updated a treaty with Mexico in 2017. A deal among southwestern states, though, was finished only recently. In Phoenix, I'm Brett Jaspers.
According to the Montrose Daily Press, the Drug Enforcement Administration is stationing agents in Montrose, hoping that a federal presence can help combat illegal drug trafficking. Drug activity has increased in Montrose substantially. The DEA considered offices in Greeley and Montrose, ultimately deciding it was, quote, very necessary to be in Montrose. In January and February last year, the Montrose Police Department made 20 non-marijuana drug arrests involving substances such as cocaine, methamphetamine, and heroin. This year's arrest numbers from the same two-month period, 50. Montrose police officials estimate that they are up 150% in drug arrests in January and February between 2018 and 2019. Montrose County on Wednesday approved an agreement providing office space for the DEA agents. The county will not be charging rent. Their agreement notes that the Montrose Police Department is providing phone and internet connectivity to the DEA sub-office. The county's memorandum of understanding positions federal drug investigators to be near local law enforcement agencies, which will benefit from having them and their resources closer at hand. The DEA agents will work alongside the 7th Judicial District Task Force. The DEA met with several area agencies to discuss expanding cooperation and covering more areas. And that was your KVNF Regional Newscast for Thursday, March 28th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.